Good evening. There is a kind of courage that shows up when times are easy. And there is the kind of courage that only appears when a person is under pressure. We live in a time where pressure is coming from all sides. Chaos, fear, whatever it may be, knocking at our doors. We need to understand we need more courage than ever. Stephen shows us the second kind of courage, the one that comes about when a person is under pressure. We know he's not an apostle or one of the big names in the minds of men. In such a little section talking about Stephen, that's what we have. But what we do know from these two chapters about Stephen is that he is a faithful servant of Christ. And that says a bunch about who he is. When pressure comes, he stands firm. He teaches us how a Christian stands when the world pushes back. And so, when we look at Stephen here in the beginnings of Acts chapter 6, we see courage begins with character before the crisis. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 6, "Now in those days, while the disciples were multiplying in number, there was grumbling from the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not pleasing to God for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this need. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the service of the word.' And this word pleased the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Pharmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they stood before the apostles, and after praying they laid their hands on them, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to multiply greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." And so we see here in the beginning, a problem arose in the church. The widows were not getting their serving. And so the 12 called the congregation together and told the congregation, "We're going to continue preaching the word. You choose from among you 7 men of good reputation, faithful, full of the Spirit. Stephen being one of them." His character in Acts chapter 6 verses 1 through 7 and verse 8, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people." Stephen's courage didn't begin in chapter 7, because we are so quick to remember Stephen as the one who stood firm, as the one who preached the gospel to a very violent and hateful group. But let us look at the Stephen before the crisis. His courage began in his everyday faithfulness in chapter 6. He was faithful before he was famous, spiritual before he was attacked, and useful before he was controversial. Too many people want boldness in the moment of trial without faithfulness in the quiet moments of service. Faithfulness isn't always standing firm before people who reject, people who are persecuting. It always begins somewhere. And it begins with us building ourselves, our faith, up during quiet times. You know, every day, every week, we need to be living faithfully. We need to be building ourselves on a foundation, which is Christ. And so when those times of crisis do arise, when we may be put into a situation where we are called to be courageous, and to stand firm on truth, we will not compromise. We will not bow down. Stephen started as one chosen of the seven to go and to take care of the widows, to make sure they are getting what needs to be given to them. And so, do we stand on truth? Because courage stands on truth when opposition arises. And so when we look at Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, we know Stephen's ministry stirred opposition. Certain men disputed with him. And so here we go. Stephen not only doing his faithful duty as serving and taking care of the widows, but now we see he's going to be preaching the truth, teaching it. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and were arguing with Stephen. But they were unable to oppose the wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to them, dragged them away, and brought them to the Sanhedrin. And they put forward false witnesses who said, this man never ceases speaking words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us. And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin saw his face like the face of an angel. And so when truth could not be defeated, what did they do? Because we see here, they could not defeat what Stephen was preaching, what he was teaching. So they secretly induced men, stirred up the people, dragged them before the council, set up false witnesses. And this pattern still exists today. A lot of people who know they cannot beat the truth. They get defensive. They get angry. They may even act violently. We've seen that happen in our world today. And maybe it has happened to you. Lord willing, it doesn't. But maybe it has happened to you. I've had people get defensive. And really what that shouts is, you're right, I'm wrong. But what we see here is Stephen's response. Notice what Stephen does not do. He does not panic. He does not deny Christ. He does not compromise the truth. And he does not lash out in fleshly anger. And that's what we see with his face like the face of an angel. This was not saying Stephen was unconcerned. It shows composure, peace, and spiritual under pressure. Stephen here knew who he was going to stand with the whole time. Because courage under pressure is not always loudness. It's kind of like that saying, the one person you need to be afraid of the most in a room is the quiet one, not the loud one. But we see it's the opposite. Courage is not always loudness. And Stephen here, once again, was not being loud. He did not burst out in anger. He did not deny Christ. He stood firm. And so courage knows the bigger story of God. And that's Stephen, of course. We see that before the Sanhedrin, he preaches the gospel. He tells them about Christ and he refers back to the very law they say they keep. And so we see in the beginnings here, they reject God's deliverers. In verse 9 of Acts chapter 7. And the patriarchs, becoming jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. Yet God was with him and rescued him from all his afflictions and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he appointed him governor over Egypt and all his household. Now famine came over all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction with it. And our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers there the first time. And on a second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family was disclosed to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent word and invited Jacob, his father, and all his relatives to come to him, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and there he and their fathers died. And from there they were removed to Shechem and placed in a tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. So we see here, Stephen points out how Joseph was rejected by his brothers. But earlier on we see, or later on we see, he points out how Moses was initially rejected by one who said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" We even see with the prophets of old, many were persecuted by their own people. Many were hated by their own. Because what did they simply do? They came and preached truth. They delivered God's message. Joseph here, who was simply telling a dream to his brothers, whom God sent. And we know Joseph would have the ability to interpret dreams as well. But here's the first thing he points out. The second thing, God is not confined to a building. And we know with the Jews, that temple was very sacred. That was a place where they all gathered to go and worship God and to sacrifice. He makes it clear that God's presence and purpose were never limited to one location or one earthly structure. Think about the Ark of the Covenant. People are still searching for the Ark of the Covenant, by the way. No luck in finding it yet. No success. And they won't. But the Ark of the Covenant, was God just... Was he just stuck in the Ark? No. Never. Even with the tabernacle, was he just in the Holy of Holies? No, that was not the whole point. God's presence is all over. He is not confined. As verse 48 in chapter 7, however, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says. And so here's the hard conclusion to all of this. And this is where Stephen really stands firm and speaks truth. Verses 51 through 53 of Acts 7. "You men, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, are always resisting the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. And which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not observe it." What we need to understand here, Stephen is standing before hostile men, and they have power. The Sanhedrin have the power to put him to death or to let him go. When we look at Christ, who was before Pilate, and even Pilate had the power to let him go. Yet Christ never spoke up. Once again, referring back to courage is not always loudness. Christ showed great courage by standing there, even while they were chanting, "Release Barabbas," and even when they were chanting, "Crucify him." This is what courage is all about, is choosing truth over self-preservation. You know, I don't know if one day we may, here in America, we may face persecution. We may be asked, "Are you going to choose Christ or to die?" Who knows? But not even during those moments do we have enough courage to go forth and preach the truth and to lead lost souls to Christ. It takes a lot of courage just to do that. It takes a lot of courage to go and strike up a spiritual conversation with people. Do we have that courage? Because if we have that courage now and we build upon that, we will be able to stand on the day that we face persecution. And so, what does courage see? Well, courage sees Jesus clearly in a moment of suffering. In verses 54 through 56 of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's hearers heard these things, they were enraged. "Now, when they heard this, it became furious in their hearts, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. And being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Stephen here was not controlled by their rage. You know, a lot of people, when they face someone who is full of rage, who's angry at them, they usually shrink down, they bow down, they fall away. But Stephen here, he stood firm on the truth. And the center of Stephen's courage did not come from self-confidence. It came from Christ's confidence. He knew where his Lord and Savior was. He knew that his Lord and Savior had died and rose again and was alive at the right hand of the Father. He could stand before angry men because he saw the exalted Christ. When Christ is the center, and when we keep our eyes on Christ, we can overcome anything. But what do people do when fear comes? They take their eyes off of Christ, and they allow the situation, the storm, to pull them away. They drown. As we see Peter walking on the water, focusing on the storm and not on Christ, he started sinking, drowning. Stephen here was not going to bow down. He was not going to bow out. He was going to continue forth. And so how to maintain our courage? Courage remains Christ-like even when mistreated. As we see here in verses 57 through 60 of Acts chapter 7. But crying out with a loud voice, they covered their ears and rushed at him with one accord. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he was calling out and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Notice they covered their ears. They didn't want to hear no more of the truth. And so they swarmed him, dragged him out, and stoned him. Why? Because he was preaching truth. And we see Saul here before. But what does Stephen do when he knows for certain that he's going to die? He prays. But we don't see a prayer of, God, deliver me, or God, save me from this. What we see from Stephen here, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen knew he's going to die. And to Stephen, it was well worth it. Falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He's uttering the words that Christ uttered. We see that as Christ is on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we see in the end, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. He utters his last words, his last breath. And then he would fall asleep. He would die. Stephen's spirit, notice, under extreme pressure, the real man is revealed. You can tell who they are by the pressure, because that pressure reveals who they are. You know, the sad truth is, when persecution does come, when people do get confronted, a lot of times they run. A lot of times they deny Christ and they run. They join in, they compromise truth. And so their character is revealed. But there are those, when their character is revealed, we're going to see Christ-like. We're going to see men and women stand for Christ, even when it means certain death. I try to imagine what the Christians were thinking when they were thrown into the circus in Rome as they were swarmed by lions. What they were thinking right before the doors opened. But these were people who were in prison because they stood firm for Christ. They would not give up Christ. They were willing to go and get eaten by lions. Daniel, prophet of old, right? Daniel, what would he do? He would get thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, that's one thing. Being burned alive is not pleasant. But they were willing to be thrown into the furnace. and to stand firm on God.
This is the courage that we see for those when pressure hits. But it didn't start there. It started way before.
For all these men and women that we see who died for Christ, it started somewhere before the pressure, before the storm. I don't know what's going to happen in our world the next 10, 15, 20 years, who knows? But the one thing I do know is Christ is still King and he's still at the right hand of God. And that those who remain faithful, those who hold to courage and hold to him as the center, we will overcome whatever the world throws at us. Yes, we may lose our life, but really, we've gained eternal life, which is far better. And so the question for tonight is, do you have this type of courage? And if you don't, you need to get it. Because we cannot be lukewarm Christians. We cannot be pretenders. Christ knows our hearts, and we need to stand firm, and we need to grow now before we do face these storms, face these trials. But if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, understand that it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. You're going to have hard times. You're going to struggle. But here's the thing. You now have Christ. When you come to believe and obey, you now have Christ in your corner. You have the Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, on your side, who will be with you through it all, who will never forsake you. Even when all your friends and family leave you, you still have Christ. So tonight, give your life to Christ, and this is how you do it. You hear the word, Romans 10, 17. You believe the word, Mark 16, 15 and 16. You repent, which means change, Acts 3, 19. You confess your faith, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then you be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15 and 16. It doesn't end there. You must remain faithful. And that means you must have the courage to stand firm, to never give up on Christ or to run away, but to remain faithful, even if that means losing your life. Or if you were a Christian and you have gone back into the world, maybe because of pressure that's been put on you, don't let that guilt and shame keep you away. Christ is waiting for you to return. He wants you to return. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.